Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. There's three things I want to talk about in the world of Major League Baseball. Today we got ratings. They're up. They're good. People are watching the playoffs. A stat from 1980s that I read in a book that I want to see how today's players are doing in this stat. And then Manny Ramirez shit on your favorite team. Maybe half of yours favorite team, Manny Ramirez, shit on. Those are the three things. Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. Let's get into it. So a late night recording for me because I'm on playoff schedule, which is draining me. I don't know even how to exist on this schedule. We're streaming every night. It's going crazy. Our numbers are through the roof. Our merch sales are going nuts. We're a Mets company these days as far as the shop goes. Shop.johnboymedia.com. Merch for Mets is like every day just keeps going and keeps going. Need the Yankees to have some big moments, have some fun. I mean, we're selling Mets shirts, Yankee shirts too, but Mets are just a wagon right now. So our numbers are up. Our stream numbers are up. Our social numbers are up. Baseball's up. Let's pour into some of these ratings because it's fun, right? I want to see the numbers. People are watching baseball. This ESPN article written by the Associated Press. So does that mean it's not even written by ESPN? How's that work? Whatever. Major League Baseball's postseason is averaging 3.33 million viewers going into the league championship series, 18% increase over last year's average of 2.82. Last year was down, not big markets, a lot of upstart teams, which you want, but you don't want all that. And you got some big markets going. So the division series averaged 3.56 million viewers for 18 games. That's up. And there's some fun numbers. Let's see which, there's some numbers I liked a lot. Friday night's National League Divisional Series Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Padres averaged 7.5 million viewers on Fox, Fox Deportes, Deportes, and streaming. The most watched division series game since 2017. So that's cool. I like that. Saturday afternoon's deciding game between the Guardians and the Tigers averaged 3.4. So that's good. If last year averaged 2.8, it was the most watched division series matchup in a day game window. Okay. Why was it a day game? Why are we doing this day game? The game was originally slated to be played at night, but was moved up to the afternoon due to the threat of inclement weather. Okay. That makes sense. So those are some fun numbers because good teams matter. Let's go over to Sports Media Watch, which I like because they do a lot of ratings talk and I like ratings. And there's some fun numbers here. Now, the Yankees clincher opposite the other ALDS, they split the views because the Guardians overlapped with the Guardians. Tigers overlapped with Yankees-Royals for a little bit. So game four of Yankees-Royals averaged 3.5 million viewers across TBS, True TV, which was down from the Phillies-Braves on the same night last year. And those are two big markets there. Phillies Braves DS, that had 5.8 million. How about Padres Dodgers with 7 million? But they say that last year that Phillies Brave game was a standalone window and the Yankees series clinching win overlapped with the Guardians Tigers, which also drew a series high 3.4. So a lot of people were watching baseball that day, but they overlapped, which is just a bummer. They have a lot of games now. There was another thing I read that I really liked. The Yankees game peaked at 9:45 p.m. with 4.6 million people watching. Yeah, because we had 8,000 people in our live stream watching, like watching the game with us in the chat, like, which isn't that most we've ever got. That we got 9,500 for the Yankees Red Sox wild card game in 2021, but it's cool that we're seeing all these highs and good numbers and everywhere. The other note was that that the American League postseason, American League, is averaging 3 million viewers on the TNT Sports Network, up 18% from last year's ALDS on Fox Sports Networks. The last time TBS carried the ALDS in 2022, which is when the Yankees were in it. So where's the article that I read that I liked? There's this Padres Dodgers has some really cool numbers. Now, Padres-Dodgers, they flexed to put on Fox. So not cable, but network television, which is always going to get more views still. Blows my mind, but yes, still gets more views. Because at this point, like, you have TV. How many people just have network, don't have? I don't know. Reach out. Don't. So I already said that that Game 5 averaged 7.2 million viewers. But what I really liked, which is the largest divisional series since 2017, which had 7.26. And the Mets-Dodgers Game 5 in 2015 had 7.38. But where was the number that I... They had like the percent of TVs watch in the Padres area. This stat I like too. Game 5 was just the sixth division series window to air on the Fox broadcast network in the past 16 years. It's a little bit of a bummer, right? Like, how do we get more games on network TV then? You got to be able to draw the audiences, because it seems like you're getting way more viewers there. Like, way more. Fox was originally slated to carry the Mets-Phillies Game 3 on Tuesday afternoon, but instead pitched MLB on switching that game to FS1 in favor of getting Game 5, which I guess worked out well. But look at this. Prior to this year, the last time Fox carried a deciding LDS Game 5 was 2005, when Monday night Yankees-Angels game averaged 13.7 million. Was that the peak of baseball? Like stardom? You look back at those early 2000s. We did this in the office. We looked back at the early 2000s, like Cy Young. We were just doing top finishers in innings pitched in the American League and National League and looking at the names, and like it was star-studded. And they were like 10-year stars. Like, they were there for a long time. And comparing it now, and like, you have names like Sandy Alcantara, which is like, he was nasty when he went to Cy Young, but then he got hurt. Like, there's not many pitchers. You know, Burns is getting there, but hasn't been in a big market. Cole is the only one, not the only one, because Verlander was there, but he got hurt. But like 10-year guys, premier, headline starting pitchers. And in the, obviously you go to 60s, 70s, 80s, you have a ton of them, but that started dying. But in, I wonder if the early 2000s was where that falls. And that's my formative years, and everything seems bigger in your formative years, but that window seems good. 13.7 million people watched a divisional series game in 2005, Yankees Angels game. That is awesome. This was cool. San Diego led all markets Friday night with a 19.6 rating and a 59 share. That means that 59% of homes using television were tuned to that game in San Diego market. That's so cool. That is like, I did a walk around my neighborhood with the kids Monday night. No, it had to be Sunday night. And Sunday night at like 7:30, and you can see all people's TVs in their windows now. So it's kind of interesting to see. And like 7 out of 10 had the football game on. And I was like, damn, that's cool. Well, 6 out of 10 in San Diego had the baseball game on. That's cool. Cause that's, you know, it's a big market, but it's not LA, but it really took over the city there. LA in that same game had 41% of LA, but 11% of homes in LA equals a far larger figure than 20% of homes in San Diego is what they're saying. Kansas City was the top neutral market with a 4.7 and 15, followed by New York City, 4.6 and 15, and St. Louis, 4.4 and 14. So, wait, St. Louis, baseball town. They're watching the playoffs. They just like baseball. That's kind of cool. I'd like to know the list of cities watching that aren't in the postseason. Like, it makes sense. Kansas City checking things out. They were still in it. New York, obviously. St. Louis. What other cities are watching that aren't there? That's kind of cool. So, baseball's back. Baseball's back, and it's better than ever. Hey now. Baseball's back. It is a conundrum about big markets versus small markets, and you want small markets, and it's cool to have the underdog story. I think last year having two upstart teams, D-backs and Rangers, and no like star appeal. Like, who are the stars that like people knew they weren't learning about? It's always cool to have a team where you're learning new stars, but you need someone that everyone already knows. Who was that? Was it Corey Seager? Was he the biggest one? I'm blanking. There might be more that I'm not thinking of. I think, is he the Longoria? Like, I don't, there's no pitchers. It's kind of a little bit of a conundrum, and more on big market, small market later on. But the second thing I want to talk about, I was reading this book. I was passing the time. I wasn't really reading it. I grabbed it off the shelf and then I flipped through at the top and read the chapters. And then I saw the chapter where we're talking about a new stat. And I love, this is the second time I found like an article. One was in Baseball Digest. One was in a Collier magazine, actually, from like 1942, where they, I forget his name, he invented a new stat. And we actually have a Google sheet and we ran the whole algorithm of the stat. It was very hard to do the way he invented it, but I planned on updating along the way and then I never did. This one's a little easier. So this was, I think this was in 1981, and it's an article written by Thomas Boswell. And people that are in the deep baseball stats world know about this because, like, you can find articles about it, but it's called Total Average, Where a Walk is as Good as a Hit, which I disagree with, so I kind of don't like that that's the main point of this stat. Let me see if I can bring this up. Thomas Boswell, Welcome to the World of Total Average. See if I can bring it up on my computer for you. See, there's a Wikipedia article about it. Okay, here. Introduced in 1978, my bad. It was also described in the 1982 article, Welcome to the World of Total Average, Where a Walk is as Good as a Hit. Is this still anywhere? Can you find this? Because we made our own sheet finding it, so I don't know if it's somewhere. It is designed to measure a hitter's overall offensive contributions on the basis that all bases are created equal, which statisticians don't really like. And statisticians don't like that you're taking a stolen base and a hit and combine it. I don't care. I like this stat. I'm sure it has flaws, but a lot of stats have flaws. And then the stats that I'm told don't have flaws are I'm too dumb to understand what they're doing. And I don't just like, man, I really can't get into war because I don't know what it is. I can't watch a guy play a series and then be like, ooh, that's going to increase his war by this much. I don't know the calculation. And that's like not fun for me to follow. Obviously I respect war and I understand that it's pretty accurate. Although sometimes shortstops and base running are kind of like crazy weighted, but I like when I understand stats and I can understand, and I know like I can watch a series and go, oh yeah, that's going to help. So what I like about this one, and I'll read from the book, the article right here. He says, in theory, total average is elementary, easy and obvious. That's why it's so hard to dispute. In its results, TA is dramatic and controversial. It illuminates new stars like Ricky Henderson and Willie Randolph while blowing holes in big names like Steve Garvey and Pete Rose. Let's start with the theory. No, I'm not going to do that. Basically, what it boils down to is he's saying, take a player, how many bases does he collect? You hit a single, that's one base. You get a walk, that's one base. You get hit by pitch, that's one base. I think he's counting hit by pitches. You steal, that's one base. Okay? So how many total bases have you accumulated? Hit a home run, that's four. Versus how many outs have you made? You try to steal and you get thrown out? That's an out. That goes against you, unlike batting average on base, you know, which I've always liked having that factor in because we always talk about OPS plus OPSS where you have steals. So you single and a steal is as good as a double because it is somewhat. It's not going to drive in as many runs. So then there's that balance. I understand that. Do you hit into a double play? Well, that counts as two outs that you just hit into that you just recorded. That's your bad, which I love. Punish double plays. I'm sick of double plays. My Yankees hit into so many double plays. I hate it. So it's pretty basic in that regard. And then you just take all the bases, divide it by the outs. So if you go 1-for-4 and you hit a home run, calculator, that means that you have four bases and because you hit a home run and then you got three outs, so you have a 1.33. More bases than outs is great. That's really good. So the guy who gets a double and another double, so two doubles, that is four total bases. He goes 2 for 4 divided by 2 is 1. No, 2. What? 2. That's better. 2 for 4 is better than 1 for 4. 1 for 4 with a homer is better than 2 for 4 with a double. You hit a double, you steal third, and then you steal home. That's the same as hitting a home run, 1 for 4. We put a sheet together, if I'm confusing you. Dalt helped me. I wanted to see the playoffs. I wanted to see in the postseason who's crushing this stat. Let me pull it up. So this is just out of the last four teams remaining. Thus far, who has been the best at total average? Okay, so who has contributed the most? Stephen Kwan is your man. Stephen Kwan's your guy. He has 15 bases accumulated. All right? He's got 2 walks. That's 2 bases. He's got a stolen base. That's 3. He's got 2 doubles. So that would be 4 and 10 singles. Is that what it is? And only 10 outs. So yeah, he's got a total average of 1.5, which is really good. After that comes Pete Alonso, then Mark Vientos, then Stanton and Teoscar. Rocchio and Torres there. Now, if you compare that to OPS, we got Kwan, Alonso, Vientos, Stanton, Hernandez. Kwan, Alonso, Vientos, Stanton, Hernandez. If I sort it by OPS, it's going to go to Vientos, Alonso, Kwan, Stanton, Hernandez. So Kwan bumps up because of the steal. And why? Because it's just less outs. Yeah, way less outs. Less at-bats because he didn't do the wild card either. But he's just hitting to way less outs. And in his hits, he's got more. Who's been the worst player according to total average this postseason? Big Christmas. Tough. 13 outs. Austin Wells, because he's got 2 double grounded in double plays. That's extra outs. I really like punishing hitting into double plays. Verdugo this season probably gets crushed for that. Jazz Chisholm bad. Tyrone Taylor, Jose Iglesias, Josh Naylor, Verdugo, Jazz Chisholm. Adds up. The worst OPS has also Big Christmas, but Francisco Alvarez. So it's pretty close to OPS. There's some difference. We also did it the whole year. Total regular season with a minimum of 450 plate appearances. So the highest total average here is Judge, 1.357, and then Otani, 1.232. Settled. Debate over. Who had the better season? It was Judge, offensively. It's final. It's final. That's awesome. I can't believe we've solved it with total average. Judge, Otani, Soto, Bobby Witt, Yordan Alvarez. That's the top 5 in total average in that order. Judge, Otani, Soto, Witt, Alvarez. Let's see OPS. Goes Judge, Otani, Soto, Witt, Alvarez. Is that the same thing? Otani, Witt, Alvarez? Blanking. Soto, Witt, Alvarez is OPS. 3 for 5. Soto, Witt, Alvarez, and total average. Soto, Witt, Alvarez. So that doesn't change at all. So I color-coded these over here to see, you know, who gets boosted and who gets hurt. And this guy is below average in OPS this year. It's 710. Average OPS out of these players was 752. If you had 500 or 450 plate appearances, the average OPS was 752. The average total average was 724. And then that guy that I found, so he's above average. He's above average in total average, 744, but below average in OPS. So you would think this got to be a base runner, right? It's got to be a guy that steals a decent amount, and it is sliding over dramatically. It is Cedric Mullins. Hell yeah. Way to go, Cedric. Why? Stolen bases, 32. Grounded into double plays, 1. That is valuable. I do think that's like an offensive game. I don't know why base running is so disconnected from all their offensive stats. I feel like we should sort that out. And base running as its own metric, I don't like. Like, as far as solo base running, which avoiding grounding into double play, hitting into double plays because you're slow, stealing bases, getting caught stealing, getting picked off, those are solo base running. Now, there's other base running that's going first to third on a single, but that depends on the type of single. So that's too many outliers. But solo base running, I just make it part of your average and figure that out in some way. I wish we could do that because, like, dude, stealing 32 bags and not grounding in any double plays is beneficial. And you go down to the very bottom of this list, where I'm guessing Verdugo's going to be down there. Okay, yeah, Verdugo's right here. And Verdugo stole 2 bags and grounded into 14 double plays. Yeah, so look at this. This bottom down here, it's just double play dudes. So that's double plays really hurt you. If you are this runner on first and you hit a ground ball and you can't beat it out, you're going to get burnt, which I think I appreciate and value. You got who hitting the most ground double plays this year? Wow, Manny Machado. So it's not hurting him. Aaron Judge hitting to the third most, not hurting him, but he's got 10 stolen bases, also doesn't get out that much. Who got picked off the most this year? Caballero, those Rays. Bobby Witt got picked off a lot. Those Rays ran a ton. Who else? There's another outlier that was above average and total average, but below average. This guy, Nimmo, same thing. Only 15 stolen bases, 7 grounded in double plays. That's interesting. What helps him there? 77 walks. 9 triples. But that should all be part of slugging. I don't know. Who recorded the most? So wait, where's our line here? This is outs, grounded double plays, caught stealing combined. So who had the most outs? Simeon. Then Tovar, then Volpe. Damn, Volpe. Well, he has a bad season. Bad season. That's total average. Yeah, let's see what else we can do with it. You know, if you guys see something, let me know. But I bought on eBay a lot of old baseball books. A lot of them like are just like this, like articles that are like combined into books. And I don't know if I'll ever have time to read them, but I enjoy it. All right, the last thing I'm going to talk about on Reddit I saw this on Reddit, but it's everywhere, kind of where Manny Ramirez had a quote that pissed everyone off. Manny Ramirez said this quote. It's in Spanish, so I'm not going to play it. I'll just read it for you. There's a translation on this Reddit thread, and everyone in the Reddit thread is really mad. And if you're not a fan of big market teams, you're going to be really mad. Manny Ramirez said, after you leave Boston, the Yankees, the Mets, Philadelphia, the Dodgers, everything after that is as if you were playing AAA. I'm talking about top 5 organizations that have a lot of history, a lot of records. After that, what you're doing is playing AAA. Whoever hasn't played for one of these 5 teams, what you're playing is AAA. There's no pressure. There's no marketing. And there's no demand that you win. You go to the Marlins, it's not the same. You go to Kansas City, it's not the same. You go to Minnesota, it's not the same. You go to Toronto, it's not the same. These five are the organizations where baseball is played. So people are mad. People are mad. A lot of the comments in here are like, oh, pretty impressive. That 16 of the last 24 World Series are won by AAA teams. Oh, congrats, Rangers, on your AAA World Series. But that's not really what he's saying. I guess I know, I understand what he's saying, because a lot of, like, CeCe Sabathia used to say this all the time, and I think Mike Harkey had a quote about it on the RTC2 podcast, where CeCe would be like, man, until, like, when I got to the Yankees, I finally felt like a big leaguer. And he's talking about all that extra shit, like the promo and the marketing that comes from it, and the media scrums, like you see in the movies, of, like, you know, 15 people at your locker, and the pressure. And that's what Manny's talking about. The marketing, the pressure, there's no demand that you win. CeCe used to talk about just like how you're like, you don't carry your own bags ever. Like the food you get, the treatment you get, like it's big leagues. It's show. But yeah, obviously that's inflammatory and rude to everyone else. But I remember hearing that. I think like Harkey went to the D-backs and went to the Yankees and he had a similar thought. But it was funny to see how mad everyone got. And he's probably like, it's kind of crazy. He just said five teams. Like the Cardinals got pretty bad here. They're a team with a lot of history. The San Francisco Giants. Yeah. But you do hear players, if you listen to a lot of interviews and hear them talk about going to some of the small market teams and then going to like big market teams, you're like, this is different. There's a whole different league of like how you're treated and like fans and recognition and all that. I mean, go look at any of those teams, bench players, Instagram followers versus the other teams. And that's just a small dose of the eyes that are on you. Jake and I always go to like Yankees, like highest AAA prospect. We'll have more public followers than the Rays, like stud. Like the best player besides until Wander. But then that turned out bad. But there was a comment that I thought was even more interesting here by the Diesel 26, where he said, if we're being totally honest with ourselves, most of the baseball fans in the country probably root for one of those five teams, plus the Cubs, Astros, and Giants. He said, if we use team subreddit size as a basis for relative popularity, those eight subs compromise 1.34 million members, and the other 22 are 1.28 million members. So the top eight make up 50% of baseball fans on Reddit. And that's an arbitrary way to calculate it, but I do think I've never really, like, I understand big market, small market. I understand that when big market teams, the views are higher than small, but I never really understood like how fucking drastic it is. The top eight teams are half the fan bases. The fandom is the top 18. You get it, but it's like, oh my goodness. The 11 biggest team subs have 1.82 million members to the 796 of the remaining 19. And the 11 includes the Jays, Braves, and Padres. Cubs, Braves. But congrats to Manny for pissing everyone off. Because I think I've heard that sentiment said before, but just to be like, you're playing AAA. Trevor Plouffe probably pissed about that, although he did spend some time with the Phillies. So congrats, Trev. You made the show for a little bit there at the very end. All right, Yanks are about to play game two, so I got to go. See you guys. Those were three things that I talked about in the world of Major League Baseball. See you later.